And welcome now to the midday. I'm Norman.
I'm Stephanie.
And Simona Dinnerstein is with us. Welcome. Good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
You were here about a year and a half ago, I think, to play at the Wisconsin Union Theater. And now you're back to perform with Madison Symphony Orchestra doing the Beethoven Emperor Concerto.
Yes.
And in the middle of that, you have a new CD that is topping the charts, not just classical charts, but...
Billboard.
Yeah.
Top 200 in the Billboard charts. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you've made such a name for yourself of late, in particular with the Bach, that it's almost a surprise to hear that you're playing something as big and boisterous and outgoing as the Emperor Concerto of Beethoven.
Oh, it's one of my favorite concertos, actually, so I'm really excited about playing it.
It's irresistible in its way, isn't it? I mean, it's just so engaging from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a piece that's full of color, and it's actually quite an unusual piece in many ways, harmonically. And I don't think we normally think of it as that, but it's actually pretty innovative.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the piano comes in pretty quickly.
So it does.
Unlike a lot of concertos, even in Beethoven's time, no big build-up waiting for it.
That's true. Well, I guess the fourth concerto starts with the piano by itself, but this is it's a kind of shining piece of music, I think.
E flat, what does that key do for you? What do you think it did for Beethoven?
Well, I think it's noble, and it has a lot of resonance in it. So I think that he used it for sort of more kind of celebratory music.
Well, that certainly would be a word that would apply to that Emperor Concerto.
Yes.
To evoke more of sort of grandeur and heroism, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you think about the Eroica Symphony.
Right.
I think that this piece is not quite as bombastic as its reputation has it for. I think it's more joyful and expansive.
Yeah, I would certainly agree.
Yeah.
And about your Bach experience, we could go on, I guess, infinitely about Bach, but what is it about Bach, do you think, that makes him translate so effectively for the piano? I mean, Handel wrote a lot of keyboard music and other composers of that time, but you don't hear a lot of people recording them, especially on the piano. What is it about Bach that makes a difference?
Well, I'm not sure if the reason why people don't record other Baroque music on the piano has to do with whether or not it works for the instrument. I think that any music, in my opinion, is going to sound better on the piano than on the harpsichord.
Mm. Wow. Okay,
but
wait for
those
emails to come pouring in.
Oh, no. But I think that Bach's music is simply better, and that's why people want to do it, because... his music is as great as it gets, and so everybody wants to play it, from pianists to ukulele players, and his music works on every instrument. It's really quite something. I think that his music is so strangely abstract and not tied to one particular sound that it even works using it in different genres and interpreting it in many, many different ways.
You get such subtlety out of the Bach, too, and I think the piano gives you that, where you can give it a little bit of a dynamic change that you can't with harpsichord. And people feel that spiritually. Your music is talked about from the spiritual standpoint. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, I think that his music is incredibly spiritual, and my feeling is that that was why he composed. You know, it wasn't...
Seems pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so playing it, that's what I feel close to, and that's my reason for playing it, really. And I'm sure that's the reason that many people play it, because it brings you to a different level of awareness, and... so if people are feeling that when they listen to it, then I think that that's great, because I think that that's what's in the music.
Let me get in a book plug here. Not my book, but somebody else's. It was recommended to me as a read by two different people in the music business. and maybe you've heard of it. It's called Evening in the Palace of Reason by, I think, James Gaines, if I got that name right.
Yes,
And he hits quite emphatically on that relationship between Bach and music and what you might call the grand scheme of things. In other words, Bach apparently did not feel that he was just a musician or just writing music, but in writing music was sort of touching the fabric of the universe, and that I think would account for the longevity, the durability of Bach, as opposed to a composer, say, who was writing in an operatic or a dramatic or a theatrical vein.
I think that that is one of the reasons, but I think that there were other composers that also had that feeling and wrote in a spirit for spiritual reasons. I think that there are lots of different reasons why Bach's music has such longevity, and not everything about it can actually be explained. I think that there's also a bit of a mystery as to why his music speaks to us so strongly, you know, now, several hundred years later.
I guess to put the other face on it, he has some great tunes.
He does certainly, yeah.
And a lot of other composers enjoyed making transcriptions and arrangements of them, including Busoni.
Yes.
And that's the first track on your new CD.
Yes, this is one of my favorite chorale preludes.
And we'll hear it in this performance that we'll be sampling from the same desk during the next 20 minutes or so, also in some piano with orchestra context, too. But here it is, this arrangement by Busoni of Ich Ruf zu dir. That was our guest, Simone Dinnerstein, with Ich Ruf zu dir, Herr Jesu Christ, one of the works of Johann Sebastian Bach, as arranged for the piano by Busoni. And so, original instruments arguments notwithstanding, you get that one as a gimme, because that's the way it was written and arranged by Busoni.
That's right, yeah.
On this disc, you have the piano in so many different roles as solo instrument and with orchestra. And your career has reflected that same path. You've been in recital, and now you're appearing with the full symphony. Is there part of that you prefer? Do you prefer solo playing, or do you enjoy working with ensembles or chamber groups or the big orchestra?
Gosh, it's hard to say. I mean, I think the thing that I like the most is when I can have a concert that reflects the artistic ideas I have about the music. And generally speaking, the easiest way for that to happen is to play a recital. But sometimes when you play a concerto, you meet an orchestra and a conductor, and they're all really willing to work on this together to create the vision that you had in your head, and that's really, really exciting. And that's how it's been feeling from last night, the rehearsal here in Madison with the symphony. So I'm really looking forward to the concert.
Excellent. You did not have a conductor for some of these keyboard concertos, did you?
No, there was no conductor on this CD. I recorded two Bach concertos and with the chamber orchestra of the Staatskapelle Berlin, and we used a very small ensemble of 14 players and no conductor, and it was perfect. It was great because there was complete communication between the orchestra and myself.
Well, I asked, I think I was a member of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra one time, that they have never used a conductor, and I said, you know, how can you make that work? And the trick is you have to have everybody has to be a star, of course, and be able to kind of make their way to that central idea behind the performance. But how getting back to the original instruments just for a second, how would Bach, in Bach's day, how would these concertos have been performed? Not with a conductor, certainly.
I think he would have led from the keyboard himself. And to be honest, this was not exactly like an Orpheus experience, because this was my recording, and so I had my idea about how I wanted the music to be. And the orchestra was extremely open and warm, and they worked with me to create my vision. So, in fact, if they had been doing it with in the style that they were used to doing, it would have been a very different kind of recording, because this ensemble is much more interested in a historical approach.
Right.
And, in fact, the concertmaster of the orchestra, Stefan May, is from the Academy for Ancient Music in Berlin. So they actually they regarded this as almost playing crossover.
This was kind of the pop thing.
Modern piano sound with their ensemble.
It was not even just that I was playing on a piano, but my approach to phrasing and many different things is not authentic at all. And so I had to kind of show them what I had in mind, and we had to figure out together how they would be able to achieve that on string instruments.
It breathes a beautiful spirit into the music, though. I think it comes together beautifully.
Thanks. I thought that they were really great to work with.
Well, I think we better try some. This would be the final movement of the Keyboard Concerto No. 5 on F minor of Bach. Breakneck speed that ends that keyboard concerto, which has a couple of other forms that Bach put it to, doesn't it?
Yes, especially the second movement, which was then used in a cantata, where the oboe plays the melody in this cantata.
This is from the brand new CD, the one that is topping the charts. It's number one at Barnes & Noble, number two at Amazon. I mean, you're in there with the Decemberists and all the other, every genre of music. It's called Bach, A Strange Beauty.
All right, we have to get to that quotation. That was your choice, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Uh-huh.
Where does that come from?
Well, am I going to give away your... No.
That's okay. We'll risk it.
I'm all right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
We'll call it a listening test.
This is a listening test. Okay. This quote comes from an essay about beauty written by Sir Francis Bacon. And in this essay, he talks about how anything that is beautiful has something strange in its proportion. And my husband showed me that quote, and we are talking about Bach, and this is exactly how I feel about Bach, which is that, though his music is based on symmetry and patterns, he's always breaking those patterns in some kind of a way. And so it's kind of a cathedral that's built on shifting sand, and so the quote seemed really appropriate to me for his music.
Well, because that sense of strangeness implies... Discovery.
And
there's something new in this, and that's part of the beauty of it.
Yeah, and not maybe it. Also something human.
Well, I would hope so.
Well, he was always plowing new ground, too. I mean, I think I remember reading that, in some of his church assignments, the congregation would get a little irritated with all of his improvisations and, asking him to stop that racket and that kind of thing. But
he crossed verbal swords with his bosses in the church hierarchy because he would, get a little inspired in his improvisations during the church services. Mm-hmm. And says, excuse me, we're trying to have a service here and you're playing a concert.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the luxury of the concert hall, never did, of course.
Yes, that's true. And if you look at his music that is not improvised, it's full of unusual departures, harmonically, rhythmically. it's not square in the least.
Strange beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah, strangeness in the proportion. Here's something from the English suite. Has anyone ever figured out why these are called English suites or French suites?
There are different speculations about it, but I have a feeling that it was named after his time, and they're kind of irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
Kind of arbitrary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good promotional device, however.
I guess, yeah.
it's a pair of gavottes that are the penultimate movement of the English suite number 3 in G minor. Some consultation there at the end of the next to the last movement of the English Suite number 3 in G minor by Bach, a pair of dances, and obviously not dances you could dance to.
Well, I don't know the steps.
The gavotte.
Very fast stepper.
That's our guest, Simona Dinnerstein, from her brand new CD called Bach Strange Beauty. And she's here in Wisconsin because she's appearing with the Madison Symphony Orchestra this weekend, tomorrow night, Saturday night, and there's a Sunday matinee performance. You can find information about that at madisonsymphony.org, or you can call for tickets at 608-258-4141. Well, you signed with Sony recently. That's who put out this new CD. And do you have any new recording projects going on?
Yes, the next recording project is going to be a solo CD with music by Schubert and Bach.
Ah. Yeah.
That's an interesting combination.
Yes, I think that they relate really beautifully to each other, so I'm excited about it.
I've heard a contrast between the two, one being sort of two different kinds of love, let's put it that way, you know, divine versus secular, but...
Well, I guess I think of them both as being very lyrical composers and poets.
I think that's unarguable.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you with us, and we should mention that also in the CD, in the booklet, reproductions of some of your father's paintings.
Yes, I thought it would be nice to put them in there, and there's an interview in the booklet. I was interviewed by Alan Rusbridger, who's the editor of The Guardian in England, and we talked about different ideas about beauty and about art and the influence my father has had on me, and so I included some of his work in the booklet.
And also the Van Eyck.
Yes.
Fascinating, too. I had never noticed the artist's reflection in the mirror in that Van Eyck for some reason.
Yes, it's very small.
Well, I guess I have an excuse then. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more and CD form and also your next visit to Wisconsin.
You.
Simona Dinnerstein, what a pleasure.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And this is one more today from our guest, Simona Dinnerstein, here with the first movement of the Keyboard Concerto No. 1 in D minor of Bach with the Berlin State Opera Chamber Orchestra, right? Or no, I added an orchestra there that's not credited, but here we go.